Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, and he sat down. And his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying,
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who grieve, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth.
God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
for they will be satisfied.
Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed of the pure heart, for them to see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Блаженны изгнанные за правду, ибо их есть Царство Небесное.
Блаженны вы, когда будут вас поносить и гнать, и всячески неправедно злословить за меня.
Если это вы, Иисус говорит, будьте благословенны.
If this is you, Jesus said, be blessed.
This is the blessed life.
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 Это благословенная жизнь.
This is the blessed life. Can you believe it's already August 23rd? Man, where did it go? That's all I'm wondering. Hey, I wanted to kind of tag on to what Russell said about Sunday night. Starting on September the 13th, we are starting a new Sunday evening program. You'll be hearing more about that in the weeks to come, but I wanted to make this specific change. We are going to change our Sunday night program on September the 13th from 6 o'clock to 5 o'clock. It's going to be hard, I know. Isn't 6 a scriptural hour? Isn't that in the first book of opinions somewhere? But we're going to change to 5 o'clock. This is going to help some of our parents with kids be able to get home so they can get their kids ready for bed. And some of our people who don't like to drive at night, this will let them be able to hopefully still drive whenever it's still light, hopefully. So that's on September the 13th. So we'll find out more about that in a little while. So today we conclude our series on the blessed life. I hope this has been helpful. I hope that the Blessed Life series has been encouraging, insightful. I have learned a lot about the character and nature of God, kind of how he wants us to treat each other. It's been eye-opening. It has been challenging. And I tell you, it would be way easier if I could just think about it, but not actually have to do it. You know, whenever you start studying about mercy, isn't it funny how God kind of gives you opportunities to be merciful? Whenever you're studying about peacemaking, isn't it interesting how he gives you opportunities to make peace? So today is our last lesson in the series. So let's pray together as we begin and pray that our hearts and our minds are open to hear. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are here today to celebrate you, to say thank you, to say that we are deeply, deeply in your debt. Lord, we are here knowing that we're not perfect. In fact, that's primarily the reason we are here, is because we cannot do this thing alone. We need each other and we need you. So as the body of Christ here in Grapevine, God, we declare with all of our hearts and our minds and our soul and our strength that you are our God. You are our strength. You are our salvation. So I pray this morning that you give us ears to hear. Lord, whatever would distract us, keep us from listening, Lord, take that away for the next 30 minutes. Lord, for the next week, help us to be people who are intently listening. And I pray, Lord, that whatever we hear today, whatever your Spirit tells us, that we would put that into practice. Lord, that when we go into our work, we would be kind and offer people life. Lord, that we would not just pray for people, but that we would be attentive to them. So help us this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you to all of you volunteers who helped put these videos together. Ross, great job. Wonderful. We saw the last one at the very beginning of the service today. It's neat hearing our people quote scripture, isn't it? I think a family who quotes scripture together, There's something solidifying in that act. But we're going to read it again. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 5. We're going to read verses 1 through verse 12 as we end our series. And I'm going to insert a couple of things that we've learned over the past several weeks into the scripture. So let's begin in verse 1. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, the poor, the outcast, the anawim, those people who have nothing to offer anyone, those people who think they are worthless. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn because they've suffered loss, those who mourn because they have lost their hope, those who mourn because they have lost their future, because they have lost, those who cannot help but weep. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who will never demand anything for themselves, those people who do not receive justice, those people who put others before themselves, even if it means that they will suffer, those people who at times seem like a doormat to others. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who ache to live rightly, those who desire justice, not for themselves, but for others, those who live and breathe to do right before God, to live rightly before men. Blessed are those, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, those people who have pity and act on it, those people who will not flaunt their advantage over someone else, but will be compassionate, those people who will not kick someone else when they're down, even though they have every right to, those people who act on their compassion and do not give others what they deserve. Blessed are those who have mercy, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, those people who choose to see others through the lens of Jesus, those who choose to see the best in others and not the worst, those who choose to give people the benefit of the doubt and see the child of God that is right before them, those people who can see the work of God in everything. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, those people who are not anxious or fearful, those people who offer wholeness or shalom, those people who offer unity, not division, those people who spend their lives bringing people together and not tearing them apart, those people who live whole and complete lives and offer that to others. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Which brings us to our final blessed today. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Have you ever been persecuted? A long time ago, I did a stint as a car salesman. I sold cars for 6 months. It was interesting. I don't think I was very good at it. But I went into work every day with a can-do attitude. You know, that's what you got to have as a car salesman. And you have to be nice and pleasant. And I made a lot of friends, but I made one enemy. I don't know why this guy didn't like me, but he didn't at all. We're talking, I was the object of his four-letter tirades on many occasions. He called me every name in the book, and some, I swear, he made up. But I remember that, and I tried so hard to get this guy to like me, but he didn't. Now, I could say that I was persecuted in that moment because he started talking bad about me on every level, and I don't necessarily think it was because I was righteous. I just think he just didn't like me. I know some of us in here have suffered persecution in many ways. Why does Jesus go from peacemakers to persecution? Isn't that a sudden shift? He goes from peacemakers to persecution. He goes from people who offer others wholeness and shalom to hostility and danger. It's interesting. These aren't necessarily individual statements. You could look at the Beatitudes as just individual pieces, but I think that there's more form here. I think Jesus is doing something. He's building up to something here. I think the fact is when you begin to pursue righteousness, when you begin to hunger and thirst after that, when you begin to live contrary to culture, when you focus on people who have nothing to offer you, whenever you desire justice for others who don't get it, people who are taking advantage of, whenever you pursue living rightly before God, those actions have consequences. They tend to upend the status quo. They tend to kind of disrupt the normal things that go on in our everyday life. And the thing that they, what it does is it upsets the power people have over other people. There's a lot of people who enjoy the power they have over others. And whenever you start to live rightly like this, it disrupts that status quo. This is how persecution starts. Persecution starts so that status quo can be put back into place. It starts because people want to be able to control others. And if they have no control, then they will get it back. Do everything they can to do so. Persecution is present. There are people being persecuted all across the world because of Jesus Christ. Before the bombings in Iraq in 2003, there was a flourishing Christian community of about 1.5 million Iraqi Christians. Now, they experienced a little bit of persecution, but they had somehow found a way to manage life in the midst of this entirely Muslim nation. I know you, I was surprised too. You think Saddam, he's going to be nice to these people? Well, there were Christians in power, and they had found their way into the fabric of that society. Well, after the war, 10 years later, there are only 300,000 left. Many of these people died in the war that followed and with what is happening now. And they, in fact, moved. A lot of these people moved out of their land. You know, Nineveh has just been taken over by ISIS a little while back, and a lot of ancient relics are in Nineveh. It's a very flourishing Christian community. They prided themselves in this town. Jonah's tomb was there, they said. And they have been driven out. They didn't just leave. They were pursued out of town, chased. They're still being pursued. In this context, in verse 10, 11 and 12, persecuted means to be pursued. It's not just a bad day at the office or when someone slaps you in the face. It's more calculated than that. Persecute is a hostile chase. It is chasing someone until you catch them. It is like pursuing its prey. One illustration is found in the book of Samuel. You know, David and Saul had a very tenuous relationship. David's best friend was Jonathan, the son of Saul. In fact, all David did was be anointed king because Saul had messed up. He had sinned and God was done with him. He anointed David to be king over Israel. David accepted it. Did he flaunt it? No. In fact, he just let the Spirit work through him. What did he do? He went and defeated Goliath. He played harp for Saul. He eased his mind with the things that he did. He killed tens of thousands of enemies, and he had helped Israel gain power and status in the world. Saul lost control. And what did he do? He pursued David. He persecuted him. And if you look, David never fought back to Saul. He ran from him. He hid in caves. In fact, there were two moments when David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. The last time, he cut off a little piece of robe or grabbed a staff, and he told Saul, "Saul, look, I could have killed you, but I didn't because you are God's anointed. Stop chasing me." And this is what Saul says in return. He says, "You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me while I have dealt wickedly with you." David knew what it was like to be pursued. Do a little search for pursuit and psalms, and you will see many of David's songs are about being pursued and the fear that can cause. So the idea of pursue is similar to verse 6 of this hunger and thirst after righteousness. So those people who hunger and thirst, it's the same idea, the same concept of pursuing, chasing until you can grab it. It is this contrary idea. I think there's maybe a little wordplay that Jesus is doing here whenever he's saying those who pursue righteousness, who hunger, thirst, and ache for it, I'm going to tell you if you pursue that, then someone else is going to pursue you. Because you are doing so. If you pursue righteousness, someone else is probably going to pursue you because it's disrupting the status quo. When we seek God with all of our hearts and we choose to live rightly, when we make choices that are not popular in school or at work, I tell you, persecution will follow. But it's not just happening in Iraq. It's happening all over the world. It's happening in Uganda. It's happening in Ukraine, Russia. Anya and Virginia told me today that there were 4 baptisms on, I'm going to see if I can get this right, Kyrgyzstan, is that right? Okay, I was really close. But in the midst of these war-torn countries where persecution is present, God is doing something there. North Korea is probably the worst place to be a Christian in today's world. They have spies that infiltrate underground churches there. They act like a Christian. They act like they're interested. And at the right moment, they pounce. Dozens and dozens and dozens of people are taken to hard labor camps. Those who choose not to bow down to Kim Jong-un, yes, that still happens. They are killed. They're either put in a labor camp, they're either killed by steamroller, by anti-aircraft fire, and many other ways that are too gruesome to even mention. Persecution exists. And I have to ask myself, do I have any idea what it means to be persecuted for righteousness? I have to qualify this idea of persecution. I don't think disagreement is persecution. If someone doesn't do something your way, it's not persecution. When we treat others with contempt, and we dehumanize them regardless of what they believe, and then they snap back at us, that's not persecution. It's because we didn't treat people very well. When I was young, our church was very conservative, meaning that there was things women could not wear. In fact, one visitor was turned away one Wednesday because she had on pants. Isn't that funny? I don't know if y'all have ever experienced that. But it was interesting because the guy who did that received from negative feedback. And he felt persecuted. It wasn't persecution. It was that he had a loveless response to someone seeking after God. I think when I look at that man, I think he was more concerned with being religious than he was being righteous. There's a difference between religion and righteousness. When Jesus mentions this beatitude, he's including this persecution that comes at the hands of the religious in the crowd. Persecution comes at the hands of the religious. Why do you think there were so many Pharisees who followed Jesus around? You notice in a lot of these stories and situations, it says a teacher of the law tried to trap him. A Pharisee asked him. These people followed Jesus around. They were pursuing him. They were trying to minimize his sphere of influence. They were persecuting Jesus and his followers. Civil rights movement in the 60s. There were some people who wanted the best for others. They were seeking justice after others. And non-religious and religious people were persecuting them. trying to maintain the status quo. If you look at it, people enjoy the power they have over others. It's still here. Jesus was righteous. And many of the Pharisees that he dealt with, they weren't. They were religious. See, religious comes from the outside in. Religion comes from the outside in. It's saying to myself that the more I do, the more I learn, God is going to be more happy with me. He's going to love me. If I do this one thing, then God will love me and be proud of me. That's not true. There is nothing that will separate you from the love of God. He cannot love you any more than he does right now. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love that is found in Jesus Christ. When we realize what's been done for us, how when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, when we realize that, why wouldn't we seek to live rightly? Why wouldn't we seek righteousness? Why wouldn't we hunger and thirst to know God? Why wouldn't we ache for Him? You know that person in the room that makes you feel better? They never have a bad thing to say. You get close to them and they just make you feel like you can do it. God, Jesus is that guy. He was that man. He was that person in the room. You walked over and he made you feel good about yourself. You felt loved. Unless you were religious. And he challenged your sensibilities. I tell you, sometimes I'm righteous and sometimes I am religious. Righteousness is more than religion. Righteousness is a relationship. What we have here every Sunday is a relationship with the body of Christ. We're not coming to punch a clock. We are coming to commune together. This is life, isn't it? Now, I know you may be asking, why would I want to do anything that will cause me to be persecuted? I mean, I love to live in a safe environment. I'm fine if nothing really bad ever happens. I tell you, I hope you never have to get persecuted. I hope I'm never persecuted for my righteousness. There's a quote that I read this week that has stuck with me, and it irritated me. It's probably going to irritate you too, so I'm going to read it. I ask myself why Christians today get off so easily. Is it because unchristian Americans are that much better than unchristian Romans, or is our light so dim that the tormentor can't see it? What are the things we do that are worth persecuting? Yeah. When we follow God with all that we have, with everything that we are, when we pursue God as others pursue us for pursuing God, when we pursue that life that is found in Him, when we go against the culture, people are going to look at you and they're going to want to take you and turn you around so that you'll go the right way. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to encourage you in one thing. And that's in 2 Timothy 3:12. It says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Yay! These are things not found in the brochure of the Christian life. But as we know in John 16:33, he says, don't be afraid. You'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is what I love. Jesus tells us we are blessed if we experience persecution. Remember, blessed, it means God is with us. We are not alone. We are blessed if we experience persecution. He is with us in the midst of our pain and difficulty. In fact, the reason we submit to persecution is because we know what this suffering produces, don't we? We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 4:8, it says this, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We pursue righteousness so that we can bless God. We can be with God as He is with us. We pursue righteousness because we know that the life of God offers, the life that God offers the world is not cheap. Life is expensive. It costs God all that He had. It costs Jesus everything to give us life. What does it cost us? So we pursue, not because it's easy, but because it's eternal. We follow in a long line of those others who have pursued righteousness, those others who have gone before and suffered for it. We are blessed if we suffer persecution. And if this is you, if you're focusing on those people who have nothing to offer, if you are enacting mercy and peace, keep doing it. When we treat others with love, mercy, and grace, we are treating God with love, mercy, and grace. When we choose to go against the culture and all the things that it has to offer, people are going to try to turn us around. So my encouragement to you this week, as you go back to school and you seek to do right, even though it's difficult, even though people all around you, they don't even care about God. They don't care about choosing right. They're just in for the experience. Take a moment, take a deep breath, and choose to live rightly. And you walk through these doors every Sunday and Wednesday and throughout the week. Pursue God with everything you have. Choose to live rightly. Seek what's best for others. Be a person who's whole. And serve. I'm going to close with this. This is a quote I've been trying to use this entire series, and it finally fits right here. This is from Mother Teresa. They found this list, and I think it was carved either in the wall or somewhere in her room over there in Calcutta. And this is what it says. These are a list. It says, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. If you are persecuted for pursuing righteousness, pursue righteousness anyway. Blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. This is the blessed life. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Lord, I pray for those of us who are undergoing persecution right now because of our righteousness, that you would help us to surround them. I pray that you would encourage their heart. For those of us who are about to endure persecution, whatever that may look like, whenever that may be, Lord, prepare us, prepare our minds, help us to give our lives anyway, because the reward is great in heaven. Help us to continually remind each other that you are with us as we are with each other. Lord, you are good. You are good in the midst of a very dark world. I pray that our lights will shine before men so that others may see our good works and your life that we have to offer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.